Hello there, I'm Miranda Gretton, and this is Take a Moment with NCHC, the show where we talk to you and your colleagues about experiences that affect you. Listen on your drive between patients or in your downtime, whenever you get the chance to take a moment.
Hi, I'm Karen Young. I'm a community speech and language therapist.
30 to 60% of women experience perimenopause, but many of us, myself included, and I'm happy to, I'm 39, so it is, I'm approaching the time at which I'm going to need to think about this. We don't know the difference between menopause and perimenopause a lot of the time. So perimenopause is the transitional period before menopause. And during perimenopause, your levels of estrogen start to decrease, and you may begin to have menopause-like symptoms such as hot flashes and irregular periods. Perimenopause can last for years prior to menopause. And when you've gone a full 12 months without a period, that's the menopause. So, Karen, let's kick off with your experience. When and how did you first suspect that you were experiencing perimenopause? And did you know enough about it to think, yes, that's what it is?
No, I had never heard of perimenopause. I'd heard of menopause. I had no idea that I was experiencing the perimenopause. And the first I knew of it was when I went to a hairdresser's appointment. And my hairdresser said to me when she was drying my hair, "Karen, your hair's really changed." And I said, "Has it?" She said, "Yes, it's a lot thinner. And this, you know, it's sort of coming out quite a bit more." And I said, "Oh." And she said, "Can I be rude and ask how old you are?" And I said, "No, because I've known her for, you know, a couple of years." And I said, "No, that's fine." And she said, "It's just you're about the same age as my mum. And my mum's hair's done the same thing. And she's just approaching the menopause." And I was like, "Oh, okay."
So did you think, well, no, that can't be.
Yeah, because I'm still having periods.
Yeah, right.
But I'd had a couple of hot flushes, but I just thought, I've always been warm. I'm never somebody who gets cold. So I just thought, well, I'm just warm today. And, you know, didn't even think anything of it. But once she'd said that, I thought, have I got the menopause? So I then looked up and I thought, well, I can't have the menopause because I'm still having periods, can't be in the menopause. So I actually went to Boots the Chemist with my daughter and walked in, and the lady said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yes, I just want to talk to somebody about the menopause." And my daughter said, "Mom, stop it, people are looking."
Oh, how interesting. So how old were you at this point? Well, how old were you when the hairdresser said this to you?
55.
Okay. And she's 25, and she was embarrassed about that conversation.
Yes, so my daughter's 25. So she was with me in Boots when I went to ask about menopause. And she said, "Oh, well, there's all these things you can take." She said, "But you might be best going and seeing your doctor." So I kind of just left it and just thought, well, you know, I don't really know. I still didn't know it was perimenopause. I still just thought it was menopause. But I thought, well, I'm still having periods. Can't be having it. And then as the weeks went on, I started to get more and more hot flushes. My daughter would find herself talking to me and she'd say, "So is that okay, Mum?" And I go, what are you talking about? I've never slept well. I've always been a bad sleeper, but I was sleeping even worse than normal. So I was feeling really tired. So I just put the fact I wasn't sleeping as the reason for me not acknowledging things. And then it was at work one day, there was a Teams meeting and it was on a topic that I'm particularly interested in, passionate about. And they said, "So what do you think on that, Karen?" And I suddenly realised I had been elsewhere for 5 minutes, but I can't remember what I was thinking about. It wasn't like I was thinking about, "Oh, I'm on holiday next week. Oh, I need to buy this before we have tea tonight." I was nowhere. I just wasn't there. And I suddenly thought, "Oh, heck." And I said, "Well, can you just repeat that?" And I was so embarrassed because it's not like me. I'm normally, you know, the one to sort of be chatting. And so I thought, "Oh, this is not good." And then as the weeks went on, then my period started to become a bit more irregular. And I was regular as clockwork to the day. And I thought, "Oh, this is a bit unusual." So then I kind of then looked up menopause with periods, I think I googled, and then it came up with perimenopause, and I thought, "Well, I've never heard of this." So that was my introduction to the fact that I was starting on the perimenopause.
So then did you go to your GP and sort of put the word in front of them, or did you go and sort of ask? How did that go? That was
horrendous.
Oh, really? What happened?
Yeah, I actually went to the GP surgery and saw the most wonderful practice nurse who was delightful. And she said, "It sounds to me like you're going through the perimenopause." I thought, great, good, there's a reason. I said, I've got itchy skin. And she went, yeah, that's one of them. I said, sometimes I smell different. She went, oh, yes. And I was thinking, you know, wow, this is great. I've got a reason for these things that are happening. And she said, but she wanted to rule out, before they thought about any HRT, rule out anything else. So she sent me off for blood tests. And she said, then we'll see you in a couple of weeks and we can discuss it further. A couple of weeks, made an appointment. By this stage, in 2 weeks' time, that practice nurse had left the practice. So they put me in with a female GP, and I thought, well, this is fine. And so I said to her, well, she said, what are you here for? And I said, well, yeah, read my notes. And I said, I've just come because I've had my blood test and I just want to know that that's okay. And I want to discuss HRT or how to manage these horrendous symptoms that I'm having. And her response to that, and this is the exact tone, what do you expect at your age?
You are joking.
No. And I had my lanyard on. She couldn't see. It was turned the other way around. And I just sat there and I felt like I'd just been hit. I was in complete shock. And I said, well, I don't know what to expect. I said, but it's starting to drive me insane. And I said, these symptoms are taking over my life. They're affecting every part of my life, including my work life and my home life. And I want to do something about it because they're getting worse by the day. And she sort of sat back in a chair and went, right, OK. She said, so have you had any blood clots ever? And I said, yes, I had one after my second AstraZeneca. And she went, well, we can't do anything. Nothing you can offer me. She said, no, nothing. And I said, but there's other ones. I know there's like, it's not just a medication, there's transdermal. And she said, same medication, dear, same medication, whether it goes through your skin or in your mouth. And I just sat there and she said, transdermal, oral, all the same, nothing we can do. And I sat there and I was just in complete shock. And I was so angry by that stage that I got up and I said, right, well, I'm going. And she said, she obviously saw my lanyard, but it was turned the other way around. She says, can I ask what you do? By this stage, I'm at the door. And I said, you just did. Goodbye. And I went downstairs and went to reception and made a formal complaint.
Good for you. I was going to say, did you say anything? Because yeah, that's unbelievable.
It was horrendous. It was the worst GP experience I've had. And I'm 56 now. I've never been spoken to like that. And it was a woman. And she was similar age to me, I'm guessing, as well. So I was really taken aback by it. So I asked to see my own GP. I had to wait a few weeks for that. And he was great. And he said, look, Karen, what I'm going to do is write to the gynecologist at the NNN to see if we have permission to put you on HRT. But in the meantime, there's this, there's that, there's this, there's this, there's this. And reeled off a whole load of things and wrote down stuff for me. And he was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And I thought, at least someone's now taking me seriously. So, yeah, and at the moment, I'm still waiting to hear back from the gynecologist. So I'm still on no HRT. I'm just muddling my way through. And I would say it's getting worse. It's certainly not getting any better. So my experience was dire, if I'm honest.
That's it. And imagine if you were the sort of person who didn't have the strength to push back and say, actually, I want to see somebody else and I'm going to make a complaint about this person. What if you were the kind of person who just said, oh, OK, there's nothing they can do? And you went home and just lived with it. And I bet there are a lot of people out there who will do that because absolutely. We take what medical professionals tell us really seriously because they're the experts. Yes. You know, it's unbelievable.
So it hasn't been a great experience. But since then, sort of talking to people, a lot of people, women I talked to the same age, they said, oh, yeah, I'm having similar to that. But nobody seems to have heard of the perimenopause. It seems to be this, you know, myth, I guess. But I think people like Davina McCall and other people on the television, and I think people like them talking about it and getting it in the public eye has helped people like me to feel that it's normal and that there is stuff that can happen and there is stuff that you can do for it.
Absolutely. And it's also not one size fits all because, you know, we hear about the average age. It's always, you know, in inverted commas, the average age for this and the average age for that. And so when you are not that age, you think, well, it can't be that, you know. And actually, when we know about perimenopause and we understand that it can happen 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years prior to the menopause, but also that menopause doesn't just hit you at age 55, you know, sometimes that happens later. And that's the case for you, isn't it? Because you're going through perimenopause now at 55, 56. Whereas some women might turn around and say, well, that must be the menopause. So it's just, it's really conflicting. It's very confusing. And you're right. It's keeping the conversations going, doing lots of research and watching the telly. I mean, did you have to go away after that GP appointment, the good GP, and do your own research?
He'd advised me about some sort of herbal things and natural medication that, you know, stuff I could get from any chemist. But I then went home and I Googled it and I put sort of non-HRT help for perimenopause and had a look at sort of the medication that I could take. And I'd started to notice that my skin was losing its elasticity, and that was really hard, looking in the mirror and suddenly thinking, gosh, I have aged so much in 6 months. And that really got me down. So a friend who is going through similar, we started chatting and she said she started taking some collagen tablets of vitamins and collagen. And my hairdresser now thinks my hair is amazing and says the collagen tablets are working wonders. And I've never had such white cuticles of my nails before, and nail tips, they're amazing. So at least that's doing some good. I don't think it's done anything for my skin, but it's helping my hair and my nails. So, you know, 2 out of 3 isn't bad. And I only spoke to a friend yesterday. She's 46 and she's still having periods. And she said, oh, Karen, I'm starting getting these hot flushes and it's starting to get a bit aggy and a bit tetchy with people, and I'm not sleeping. And I said, sounds like you're going through the perimenopause. And she says, really? What's that? And we sat on a bench outside the Hotel de Paris in Cromer yesterday, and we discussed the perimenopause for about an hour. And it was just, she said, oh, I'm so glad I brought it up with you, because again, she was like, why am I having these hot flushes? She said, I've got the duvet off. I went, yep, that's my life too. She said, it's driving her husband nuts. And I said, yeah, now talk to him. Let him know this is what you're going through. He might be a bit more understanding if they know that, you know, this is not something you can help.
Absolutely.
So I just think it's just, yeah, being able to chat, being able to talk about it. And then when the trust started talking about it, seeing these things, I was thinking, whoa, yeah, this is great. The trust are taking it seriously. And that was the menopause to start with. So when I knew there was something coming up with the perimenopause, I thought, great, you know, for people like me, who a lot of people have never heard about it, hopefully in 5 years' time, loads more people have heard about it, and the next generation coming through will have a bit of an easier time than, you know, us at the moment.
Absolutely. And that's, you're right. These are all resources that people can use. And speaking of the trust, how do you feel that the trust is supporting you on your journey through this?
When they had one of the, I think it was a Teams thing about the perimenopause and the menopause, and my manager, I said to her, is it okay if I go on this and block it out of my rota? And she's in her 30s and she said, oh, I'm quite interested in this. Could I log on as well? And I said, yeah, sure. Just, you know, this is what you need to do. So she actually attended as well. So I think the trust putting that out was great, because that enabled people who aren't necessarily going through it to learn about it, but that managers and colleagues could also learn about it. So then my manager, I was then able to say to her, look, you know, this is what's happening. This is how I'm feeling. So if in a Teams meeting, I suddenly get up and start opening windows or flapping my top or something, I said, I'm probably having a hot flush. And if it's the middle of winter and I've got the fan on behind me, don't worry about it. It's just because I'm having one of those times and I'd rather be cold than, you know, be sitting there uncomfortable. So I think it's meant that, certainly for me, my manager is much more supportive because she understands. And I think just being able to have that, it's about having a conversation, you know, and it's a bit like the word period. You know, you're not allowed to talk about periods and you're not allowed to talk about menopause. It's like these words that you're not supposed to use. And my 25-year-old, who's now 26, is so used to me talking about perimenopause now that I think she doesn't, you know, sort of scream when we're in Boots or something, bring the conversation up. But that's good for her because she learned, you know, it's like it's one of those taboo subjects that you're not meant to talk about. And now we are talking about it.
Absolutely. And why should she wait till she gets to 45 to suddenly be hit around their face with it? Now, at least she'll be thinking about it. It's going to be coming up. She won't be frightened by it. I saw my mum yesterday and I said I was doing this podcast. And she said, we started talking about it. And I said, we've never had this conversation, mum. We've never sat down and talked about the men. And she said, oh, it was horrendous. It was horrendous. I said, yeah, but this is literally, I'm 39. She's 71. I said, this is the first time we've ever spoken about it being horrendous. Yeah. And so I said, you know, it's really interesting the fact that I'm now having to talk to colleagues and I'm having these conversations about it, and it's opening up in the workplace where it wasn't for her. And you're right, it's that journey, isn't it, that progression. And saying, you know, that your female line manager is going on that course is great. We need more male line managers to go on, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely, because they obviously have no understanding and they're not going to go through it. So although I do think they do go through it if they've got partners who are going through it, because it doesn't just affect you, it affects your family, your relationships. So I think, you know, they need to know for work, but also for their own personal help as well at home. They can perhaps be more supportive to their partners.
We've talked a bit about symptoms, you know, and the hot flushes and everything. And some people obviously don't experience symptoms in the same way. Sometimes people have them really severely and sometimes people don't have any symptoms at all. You know, you said about experiencing hot flushes, but were there any other symptoms? And, you know, obviously your hair and everything, but anything else that you experienced that you weren't expecting to?
Itching, really terrible itching. And I thought I was getting eczema or something. I'd be scratching my arms, I'd be scratching my legs, but my skin was so much more itchy. And I was like, why am I itching? And it's embarrassing when you're out and you're scratching. And then there was one day when I thought, what's that smell? And I thought, it's me. And it sounds really bizarre, but when you put on that moisturiser with the fake tanny stuff on, you know, and it smells a bit strange, and you get into bed and you think, oh, this cream doesn't smell particularly nice. It was that kind of smell. And I thought, this is me. I smell different. And it wasn't a disgusting smell, but it wasn't what I was used to. And that, I thought, why do I smell strange? Put my deodorant on, you know. So then I started like covering myself with perfume and things, and it hasn't happened very often. I've probably only had it in the last 6-7 months. I've probably only had that weird smell thing about 3 or 4 times, but it's the same smell. And it's just, I'll just be sat here and I just think, oh, it's that smell again.
But that must make you feel quite self-conscious.
It does, terribly. Yeah. Hence drenching myself in Gucci Guilty most mornings to try and disguise it. And then I realized it wasn't happening every day, so it was fine. But when I spoke to my proper GP, he said, yeah, that can be one of the symptoms, that there's, you know, a change in your body's smell. So he said that is sort of, you know, quite normal.
Isn't that interesting? And the zoning out in Teams calls, that's very common, isn't it? Because that's a lower level of estrogen in the brain, isn't it? That's what causes that, I believe.
And that's really hard, because especially when it's something that you're really passionate about. And I think you can almost appear disinterested or bored. Like, oh gosh, has you not had enough sleep this weekend? You know, and it's, no, I had plenty of sleep and I'm very interested and I'm not at all bored, but I'm just not here for 5 minutes. You know, my brain's gone elsewhere. And you have to sort of force yourself and bring yourself back. And even then, sometimes you can then find yourself sort of going again or ask the same question 3 or 4 times and thinking, oh gosh, come on, Karen.
But isn't that why it's so important to have the conversations, especially with your line manager and your team, because then at least they'll know.
Yeah.
And they can sort of accommodate that and make allowances, I suppose. Yeah. You know, and you won't have to feel bad about it or embarrassed about it because everybody knows the reason. I think we are getting better at talking about things that were previously taboo. You know, you mentioned the word periods, and the whole point of perimenopause is that it is menopause but with periods, you know, really, isn't it? That's like a
the
simple definition.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You can't talk about one without the other. And so if you don't feel comfortable to talk about either of those things, you are just going to be alone through that whole experience.
Yeah. And I've never, like you talked about having a discussion with your mum. I've never spoken to my mum about it. You know, I said to her, just out of interest, mum, when did you go through the menopause? And it was very similar age to me. So it was sort of mid-50s. So, and she didn't even know what the perimenopause was. She said, oh, well, we didn't have that in my day, you know. So it wasn't talked about. You either were normal or you were menopausal. There was nothing in between. When, you know, when the hairdresser mentioned it, I was like, yeah, but I'm still having periods, you know, and she said, and I thought, oh, well, maybe there is something. So it was only because, you know, she mentioned it that I went to ask questions. But I, it would have been very easy just to ignore it, because I would have thought, well, actually, I'm still having periods, so she's wrong. Maybe it's stress that's causing my hair to be thinner and fall out a bit, you know. Making little changes to try and make it a bit easier.
I think for anyone who is thinking that they might be going through perimenopause and listening to what you're saying, and, you know, again, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me about this, because I think this is such an important conversation to still be having. But anyone listening to you and thinking, yeah, that's me, that sounds like me, you know, like your friend on the bench in Cromer, it sounds like me, what do I do? What would be your advice? What's the first thing that someone should do?
Go and talk to a practice nurse or the GP about it, and just say, am I perimenopausal, or is it something else? Because it could be something else. And so I think it's always good just to get that ruled out. And then to discuss the options. What are the options? What are the medical options? What are the non-medical options? And also just to talk to those around them, their children, their partner, you know, their colleagues, just to let people know, look, just to let you know, this is what's happening to me. And just to be kind to yourself as well, really, because I've put weight on as well. So in my midriff, I've got that, you know, and it doesn't matter whether I could do exercise all day, I can eat very healthily, and the weight is still going on in those areas. And the GP said you will put weight on in those areas once you start to move towards menopause. That's what your body does. If you lose your estrogen levels, you'll start to put weight on. And that, when you start to lose the elasticity in your face, and then you start to put weight on, and yet, and then your hair starts to thin, sounding terribly depressing, isn't it? But and you look after yourself, it is really depressing. It does get you down. And it's just about being kind to yourself and saying, actually, it's okay. This is me. I'm going to have a few more lines on my face. You know, yeah, I'm going to have a bit more weight around my midriff, and just accepting it rather than beating yourself up about it. Because it did get me really down to, you know, the first few months when I noticed all those things. And I was thinking, gosh, this is horrendous. And it is about being kind to yourself and just knowing that this is, you know, this is normal.
Thank you for listening to Take a Moment with NCHC. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please visit the podcast intranet page to leave a comment and for details of our other episodes. You can also follow NCHC on all social media channels